Ben Solak of ESPN did a ranking of all the teams in the NFL based on a watchability, what he called kind of his league pass list. That was the idea. Mm-hmm. We used to do this with basketball when people would get the national NBA package. And even though you're a Wizards fan, like, there's a fun team, Memphis or somebody at that time, that you got to watch every single night. So he went 1 through 32 most watchable teams, most exciting teams to tune in to see in the entire league. And wouldn't you know it, your Washington Commanders,
here we go,
are number one out of 32 teams on this list.
There it is.
What a world, ladies and gentlemen. From years of putting sticks in a fire pit with paper and cardboard and lighter fluid and trying to get 14 points with bad quarterback play, to whatever this is now, the most watchable, in some ways likable, excitable team in the NFL. This is a guy who grew up an Eagles fan, by the way, in Solak from that area, who's one of my favorite writers covering the NFL at this point. But he ranked the Commanders number one in watchability this football season.
6 years removed from Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan? Bill Callahan. Who's Brian Callahan? Is that a person?
That's his son who coaches the Cincinnati Bengals offense and now is the head coach of the Tennessee
Titans. It's a B first name, then with the same last name, I have no chance. Bill Callahan.
How come he didn't call him Tommy Callahan?
Callahan Auto Parts. Sold half a million brake pads. Buddy.
Tommy just sold half a million brake pads.
Get a good look at a T-bone by sticking my head up. Anyway, Bill Callahan just calling run plays and punting on first down. Years of boo-boo with Ron Rivera, where he didn't even talk to the team at halftime. Where in his first game, by the way, they stopped trying to win, and nobody ever asked about it. It was weird. Just a few years removed from that. Mm-hmm. The most watchable team this league has to offer. What do you think? It's first, they're second, they're third. The point is, everybody's in. Everybody thinks we're the darling, and I am excited. So is that marching band, by the way.
Yeah, that is, by the way, the U.S. Navy marching band, it looks like, or maybe some band comprised of Navy midshipmen?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're all in their whites. That's the most gorgeous military look there is. Maybe I'm biased. My dad was in the Navy for 13 years, but I think the U.S. Navy all whites look, come on, what's better than that?
That's pretty sharp. It's pretty sharp.
Like, every dude looks his best when he's in the military, like when he's wearing his all whites and he's just out on the town with his pants and his shirt just so. White hat.
It's the sundress for guys, basically.
It is.
You know, it's an upgrade. I'll never forget this. So we were our senior year at our sister school's winter formal, right? You follow that so far? So the all-girls school right across the street were the all-boys school. Anyway, so they're winter formal. And one of the girls who was a senior was dating a guy that was a freshman at the Naval Academy. So they'd been dating through high school, and they stayed together because it was close or whatever. That dude came back in his dress all whites.
Oh, boy.
You know who didn't get any attention at all? Every dude, every girl was staring at that guy.
All steamed up.
Yeah.
Do you blame him?
Nope. I stare too.
I think if we were wearing the all whites, first of all, I don't know if there are all whites big enough for me to fit into, but let's just say that they had them. Okay.
All right.
I think I go up a number, just at one on the 1 to 10
a unit,
scale.
Sure.
But it's not going to make me Chris Hemsworth. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying when you are fit, when you are military caliber physique human being, and then you put on the all whites,
good night. Yeah,
you know, it's minus 14 spread against the non-all whites non-military dude standing next to you.
Yeah,
that's all.
Alabama versus UAB.
Here's what Solak had to say, Daniel, about the Commanders as the most watchable NFL team. He says that they were the perfect team to watch last season based on these metrics. 12 of their games ended with an 8-point margin. 14 out of 17 that they played were one-possession football games in the waning minutes. They were exciting. I mean, there's no doubt. Sometimes they gave up points. Sometimes they scored points.
Yep.
But most of their games did come down to the wire. In fact, to that point, in the fourth quarter last year, the Commanders had 19 scoring drives, which was the fourth most in the National Football League. But get this. They surrendered 20 scoring drives, which was the sixth most defensively to give up in the NFL. So in the fourth quarter, top four scoring offense, bottom six scoring defense, action.
Late fireworks.
You know, we
dramatics.
Got scores, we got chunk yardage and big plays and points. He went on to talk about the speed with which they operate and the tempo with which they go to work offensively. Very, very fast offense under Cliff Kingsbury. In fact, I didn't know this stat. This is interesting. They ran the most no-huddle plays last year. We knew they ran the most in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That was the most by any offense since Chip Kelly was calling plays for the Philadelphia Eagles as a head coach.
How about that?
Under Cliff Kingsbury. So when you have tempo, you run more plays. Plays mean opportunities. Now, opportunities mean yards and points. Then you've got a defense that gave up a lot. So his point was last year they kind of ran away with this title, and they still got Jaden Daniels, who he mentions as the electrifying talent that is worth tuning in for. They had multiple Hail Marys converted last year, including the Hail Mary that we all remember to beat the Chicago Bears. And then they had the highest best fourth down conversion rate in the NFL in history at 87%. So this is the argument he makes for lining up 32 teams as far as watchability. Washington 1. He's got the Ravens 2, the Lions 3, the Joe Burrow-led Bengals 4. I would have probably had them even higher. And then the Eagles 5. But you can kind of see what this is. You need a prolific offense. You need a quarterback who can make plays, probably as a dual threat more often than not, but someone who can run an offense that scores. And then if you've got a defense that's going to give a bunch up as well, that's good for this too.
Precisely. So you look at what Washington did last year, just kind of in the rear view. So week one against Tampa, I think, is the anomaly game. We all kind of agree to that, right? That's I don't want to say it doesn't count because it does, but that's not who they would end up being. And as they were getting their feet wet, they had a close one against the Giants. But the point I'm about to make is this. You're either in a, this is wild, man. You're going back and forth and back and forth, and you're close, and it's zip and tuck. It's a last-minute score. It's the, you know, walk-off against Dallas, overtime against Atlanta, late win against Philadelphia, two-point conversion chance against New Orleans, close game, close game, close game, all within one possession. And their blowouts, though, are fun, too. Now, obviously, it's more fun if you're a fan of the team, but you're watching a, this is just a masterclass. This is hyper-efficient. Everybody gets a touch. They're finding angles and different things that, you know, just dominating that Arizona in week number four, dominating Tennessee, who was pretty much left for dead at that point. It's beautiful too. Like if when you watch the before they won the championship, you watch those old Denver Nuggets teams. I say old, but you know, a handful of years ago, Jokic and watching them, you know, win 50 games, not really be a championship threat. You go, this is a blast. Even when they win by 30, it's still really fun to watch them do kind of all this stuff. And that's kind of how it felt last year.